She is sure.
She is sure.
She is strong.
She is strong.
She is true.
She is true.
She is brave.
She is brave.
She is bold.
She is bold.
She is you.
She is you.
She is you.
She is you.
She is sure.
She is sure.
She is strong.
She is strong.
She is true.
She is true.
She is brave.
She is brave.
She is bold.
She is bold.
She is you.
You're tuned in to Word of Mom Radio here on the Word of Mom Media Network.
Welcome to the Village Vision Podcast, where community, collaboration, and care converge. I'm Dr. Crystal Morrison, and I'm honored to be your host on this incredible journey. As a firm believer in the power of a united village, I'm thrilled to bring you inspiring stories, research, and projects that break down barriers in care. Through heartfelt conversations with experts, advocates, and those with lived experiences, we'll showcase the transformative impact of collective support. So join me on the Village Vision Podcast as we explore the remarkable collaborations that lead to better outcomes, foster a sense of community, and inspire action to improve care for ourselves and everyone around us. On today's episode, I'm here with my friend Jamil Owens. Jamil was raised in North Philadelphia and has served his community and other communities as a law enforcement officer, civil servant, and volunteer firefighter. He is currently the Family Relations Coordinator at the Center for Autism Research at CHOP, the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia. Jamil is the father of a 16-year-old boy who is on the autism spectrum. So Jamil is truly an advocate, not only for his son, but others who are autistic and other autism parents. He's also a valued contributor in our new book, Superheroes on the Spectrum. Welcome, Jamil.
Thank you, Crystal. Thank you. I don't know, should I call you doctor? That's the right sound.
Crystal is fine.
Okay. I don't want to disrespect because you worked hard for that. So I want to make sure you get your flowers any time that I could possibly give them. But thank you. I have to say on both levels, thank you for having me contribute to that amazing dialogue, self-advocates and advocates. Mm-hmm. And thank you for having me on this podcast. I appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome. You're so welcome. So I definitely want to talk more about your work in the autism community because there is so much that you're doing. But I want to talk first about the why behind your work. Like, what's inspired you over the years to get so involved and become such a powerful advocate?
One of the biggest things for us men, and I can only speak from this perspective, is to have a sense of purpose in this life. And I can tell you that I'm 42. Yes, I'm 42. I'm about to be 43. I forget. 10 years ago, when I decided to start advocating for my son and others like him, I didn't have a purpose. I knew what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
And I was driven by that, and that's to protect and help people. But when I truly started to dig into this advocacy space, which was ultimately started from my son, having that disconnect from him and the diagnosis, I am truly living my purpose now. So it was a message and then a gift that was absorbed from that. Shane is ultimately the reason why, is because I needed to understand how to be a man in his world, how to be his father, which ultimately had other lessons, you know, due to divorce because of my understanding of the diagnosis. I had to understand how to rebuild my perception of life, how I perceive life. And that started with my son. And then doing that, I started to see that this was bigger than just my son. Now I had to speak out for other fathers and other families that maybe they didn't feel that they had a voice strong enough to get out there, a perspective. So it started with Shane.
Amazing.
A decade ago.
Shane is 16 now, right?
16. I can't 16. Believe it. But yes, 16.
Yeah, I hear you. Yeah, my babies are 15, 18, and 20 now. It's a lot. I know that you're doing a lot in this space, but I feel it's really important. I don't want to miss this, but there are not a lot of dads out there that are sharing that message. And I think it's amazing that you're sharing your viewpoint, because I think sometimes most of the perspective is coming from moms or people who identify as the mother figure. And I don't want to lose the voice of the dads and the people who, you know, identify with that dad role. And so I just appreciate that so much. So thank you for that piece. But let's talk about the work that you're doing today, because you have the work that you're doing and your role at CHOP, and then you have other work that you're doing even outside and beyond that. So talk a little bit about the program at CHOP and your role there.
Okay, so, you know, shout out to my CHOP peoples.
Yeah.
Everybody is an organization, but more so, I'm a part of the infrastructure at the Center for Autism Research at CHOP. It highlights in the title what we do, which is research opportunities to better assist and help this neurodiverse community. So we have research opportunities that are invasive. A lot of them are virtual. Families can participate in. There are compensation for a lot of these research opportunities, but there's also so many different aspects. So we have advisory councils that family members can be a part of. There's so much more to just the term research when people see it. That's what we do there. My role was a first-time role that has never been there before. And the fundamental thing about this, and I tell this story because I want people to realize, once again, that passion and the purpose of your life. So I started off at CHOP as security because I have a law enforcement background, a first responder background. And I used to patrol the building where I work at now, which is the Roberts Building for Advanced Pediatric Research. And I learned that the program, the CAR program, short, was located in that building. And I said, I need to work in that program. I don't know how, but I need to work there. And I left it alone. I was still doing my community advocacy work. So I would work a 9-to-5, and then you'll catch me at community events talking about my podcast and what my mission is for the podcast with my wife, with my son, or my infant. Like, we were out there. And then I got a phone call from the director of the LEND program, which is the Leadership, Education, and Neurodiversity. And the director asked me to present. And come to find out, I was the first father figure to actually present ever in that program, which is a national program. And so happened, I'm in the 23-24 cohort. So I'm in the LEND program now.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, so it goes with my story. But
yeah.
To sum it up, I was offered the position and there was a qualification of a diploma, which I didn't have. And I said, I would love this position. I know exactly what to do in this position, but this particular qualification, unfortunately, I don't have. And they said, give me 2 weeks. And it came back in 2 weeks and they took that requirement off. I interviewed with 8 people. And I was finally part of the infrastructure. And here we are.
That's right. That's amazing. I love that story. It's amazing. But you were already doing advocacy work, and you're still doing all of that advocacy work on top of your full-time role. Obviously, there's definitely synergy now in your role at CHOP. But tell us a little bit more about what all of that looks like in your additional advocacy work.
A lot to do with community engagement, meeting mothers, organizations that are like starting up that, you know, requests for me to be either an organizer or part of their event planning or part of the event period, but also to offering a lot of my services. Give you an example, through my nonprofit, I do Sensory Santa in the holidays. And what I do is that I don't charge the organization that I work with to actually be there. So I have a photographer I work with. They have portrait packages, which are really inexpensive that a family can afford. They come there, but I don't charge to be the Santa. So that's my way of giving back. If the organization would like to make a donation, then fine. But this is something I'm doing out the cornerstone of my heart, something that I want to give back. A lot of consulting for doctors, for organizations on connections. I do that through my nonprofit. So there's a lot that I do, and it's a lot of overlap, but a lot of times I'm like, hey, this is what I have to offer. This is me. Which route you want to go? Do you want to go with the route of me professionally and then other professional, but more my organization than what it is the Center for Autism Research? Because with a big organization like CHOP, there is so many different tape or hurdles.
Sure.
Like a better word that we have to cross in order to make sure that you get the support that we can offer. And what I mean support is not monetary, it's just supporting an event, saying that we will be there as far as a resource table. Whereas though a nonprofit such as mine, I follow the same integrity structure, but it's a little bit more flexible because I'm the owner of it. So it's a lot of overlap, but it's like me working 24/7, literally the same job, 24/7, just different perspectives.
Yes. And then having that nonprofit allows you to get involved in some things that gives you a little bit more freedom in some ways too. What's the name of your nonprofit? Do you want to share that?
So my podcast is The Awesome Show. So TheAusomeShow. And my nonprofit is Awesomeness Incorporated. So AusomeNessInc. So it's the same premise, just wrapped up into a nonprofit now.
That's perfect. And we'll have all of those links in the show notes too. From the father's perspective, what do you think are a few of the topics that you find fathers opening up about or coming to you the most about?
Really navigating their feelings. So first thing is really, and this is from personal experience too, is really navigating your pride and your ego. I think as a society, we put too much pressure on us men to perform at a alpha male stature, which means producing kids who are quote unquote normal. And when we have a child that requires special needs, it's kind of like we're saying, oh, well, my child doesn't fall in that format, so therefore I'm not an alpha male. I tend to tell, because I counsel a lot of men, to tell you, you are an alpha male if you're exhibiting just many, but these three qualities, the empathy, the compassion, and the love to help others. Those three, you are really considered the alpha male. And a lot of men have, once again, restructured their vision on what society says a male is or a father figure is. So it's a lot of emotional support that I give. I you know, facts, yes, I can run the gamut on facts and numbers and statistics, but we are missing the mark when it comes to the emotional point. So how do we do that? We have other fathers navigating the system with other fathers, with no disrespect to the mothers, but we all know communication between a man and a woman is often frayed. It's something that we can work on day in and day out, but there's always going to be some aspect in which we are miscommunicating with each other. So that's when men like myself and other men who are in this space and out in the community would need to step up to say, it's okay.
Yeah.
And here's the reason why it's okay, because I'm going to tell you, I'm going to be transparent with my life. And what I want you to gather from that is, wow, this guy made it. I know I can do what he does or even better. And that's what I want. I want the next advocate to be formed from my story, to sit there and say, yes, I can be better. I can pick up the gauntlet and do what I need to do.
I've heard a lot of women talk about, you know, not feeling their male partner is on board or feel like they've, you know, maybe withdrawn or any number of different things when the diagnosis hits or on the journey. And of course, that is 110% what I'm hearing from the woman's perspective. What are some of the things that the dads are telling you about their perspective, even from their lens regarding the mom per se? Like, you know, what are the sorts of things that you hear going on in the dynamics of relationships when there may be a mom and a dad navigating this together?
Surprisingly, not that many comments. And the reason why is because the dad's issue is focused more on the child versus his partner. He knows subconsciously that mom is doing the best, like going all out. She's really engaged. And what the male is saying is, I'm not there. And I feel like I'm being left behind. So the closest way for me to be engaged is to identify with the child. Oh, well, you know, my son or daughter is not doing this. I don't know where they could be during the summertime. I'm trying to find programs. So they're always objectively saying facts and situations towards the child. While mom is doing four or five laps already around the circle, and she's getting the resources, she's doing everything, but she feels alone. So one of the most intricate things that I remember, and this is a fundamental of life, is that it is okay as a married couple, as co-parenting, as individuals that just have a child, whatever your situation is, mm-hmm. it's okay to grow and to progress in that relationship.
Yeah.
It's not okay is to grow and progress without your partner. So does that mean to hold on to them and kind of spoon feed them and baby them and walk with them? No, but it means communicating with them like, hey, you know what? I'm thinking about going back to school. I really do think this degree will help me. These are the reasons why I do this. What do you think? And also, what are you looking to do in the future? Are you looking to go to school, maybe a trade school? Do you want to pick something up? That's growth together.
Yeah, yeah.
The special needs family especially needs to focus on that growth together. Because
Agreed.
Often what happens, that road to divorce, is because one parent has grown substantially, whether it's education, whether it's emotionally, and that mm-hmm. other parent is stagnant in the mm-hmm. position in which they are at. So mm-hmm. it takes a lot.
Mm-hmm. And I don't think it necessarily means that that parent is stagnant, let's say, because they're incapable mm-hmm. or stagnant because they're limited in their understanding. It's because for whatever reasons, and we all know these are high stress situations, but for whatever reasons, something prevented those two people from being able to grow together.
Yes.
And one just took the different track. And I mean, I've just seen this time and time again. And, you know, in my own family's case, my children don't have a relationship with my first husband. They have a bonus dad who is extremely involved and is their dad. Mm-hmm. And we have to constantly work on our relationship together so that we can be good parents to our three children. And sometimes I think as parents who are parenting children with special needs are focused on the child, which is always important. I don't want to discount that, mm-hmm. but we can't parent together if we're not working on our relationship together. And that's not selfish, right, Jamil? That's not
no.
selfish.
No, that brings up a good point. I think more so in all relationships and just individuality, spiritual grounding is important. I'm not here to tell you what spiritual grounding
right, right.
or what religion is better yeah. than anything. That's not my position.
Yeah.
But I believe when you have a spiritual grounding as an individual, and then you're able to form that and keep that in the center as a married couple or mm-hmm. as a couple with children with mm-hmm. these exceptionalities or these mm-hmm. special needs, that it increases the connection between you two and
yeah.
it increases the growth and actually ultimately the rest of the family as well. So I think that's an important piece that we are actually missing, because often isn't that the reason or the question we ask? Well, why, God? Why did you do this to my child? Mm-hmm. Why am I having this child, right?
Yeah.
So without that spirituality in the center, we're ultimately missing the message that God has given us, which is this child.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I say, once again, I tell people, Shane was a gift from God. Mm-hmm. He literally was. I had a problem with understanding where my spiritual preference should be at, because mm-hmm. the word of God in my eyes is intangible. Yes, we have a book, we have a Bible. I mm-hmm. can open it up and I can read it. But yet to understand and grasp the concepts that are in here is not tangible to me, right? Mm-hmm. So then he sent me a son with the lesson of life that I needed to learn. That means, Jamil, you need to stop being angry because of things that happened in your life, because I told you that you will have problems. You will have trials and tribulations in life, right? So Jamil, now I'm giving you an individual that has a heart of compassion like me, mm-hmm. and is going to show you how to push yourself to let go of all those things that you learn in your stages of lostness, if that's mm-hmm. a word, and be a better man, not only for you, but for the whole world to actually see and recognize. He sent me something tangible that I can hold, that mm-hmm. I can love, that I can talk to, that can ultimately be in the car riding with me and say something to me that will inspire me to write something to
yeah.
other parents to give them power and give them praise. So it, you know, he is literally a gift from God for me, as any
yeah.
child, neurotypical, neurodiverse.
Right.
But for me and my life and my journey, I was headed down a wrong path. I was given this child, and now I've corrected my course. I'm not perfect, but I've corrected my course to align to what I am on this planet to do, my purpose.
And all of the things that he's taught us and that our children have taught us. One of the things I talk a lot about, I had a perspective on what I could or should be as a mother. And my worldview by being blessed, being gifted with this child, with this human being, has granted me the ability to see the world through a completely different lens. Mm-hmm. And I am so grateful for that. I mean, yes, it has been full of challenges. Don't get me wrong. You understand that. But just having been blessed with this different lens to see the world by, to have the ability to see situations with other children and other parents and other people where I can look at it and see myself or my child in that situation and be able to grant those people the grace and space and understanding and maybe even support, right? That I wasn't always given. I was given maybe more judgment perhaps, but being able to see the world through that lens and granting people grace and space and support and understanding as opposed to judgment is a real gift, I believe. And I'm grateful for that every day.
I think you have to credit yourself a whole lot more. So to put some context to that, I see your title, doctor, right? Mm. So yes, everybody, you know, you ask a child, what do you want to be when you grow up? There is a policeman, fireman, whatever the case may be. So you have that degree. That was one of the pivotal parts that God wanted for your life. If that's who you follow and who you worship, a higher power, I'll leave mm-hmm. it like that, wanted for your life. So you were given the doors, not the tools, but the doors in order to do that. The tools were made by you. As time went on, as you navigated through ups and downs, you were assessed those tools in mm-hmm. order to complete what that was. That was ultimately for your goal. Then when you got to the point of saying, I'm a doctor, he twisted it around and said, mm-hmm. I don't think you're ready for what that path is. Instead, I want you to go this path, which you will ultimately get there. But in that path, you will open doors for others.
Yeah.
Through your doctorate, you will still be successful. But through your doctorate, you will open up these doors for others in order for them to be able to have that space, safe space within you. Mm-hmm. That's just me looking at that and giving you a little bit of insight of what I see. For me, mm-hmm. I wasn't able to graduate from high school. I have a GED. I'll tell that just like anybody. Yeah. I have a GED because my mother suffered from schizophrenia and depression and kicked mm-hmm. me out when I was 16. Mm-hmm. So I had nowhere. I was sleeping on other people's couches, porches, everything. This was early on. I went to one of the best high schools in Philadelphia, Central High School. And I had one more year to follow through and I would have had a high school diploma. It hurts me to this day that I don't have that diploma from Central because I worked so hard to get in that school. But mm-hmm. without my mom, a single parent home, without my mom, my best friend, mm-hmm. who basically, unfortunately, because of her sickness, turned on me, mm-hmm. I was lost. And sure. I didn't want to talk and be open. This was the early stages of manhood for me about being vulnerable and being open. So I had a journey that was offsetting to what God wanted for me. But he took that and he used the lessons and he made me see the lessons of everything that happened in my life to give me clarity to where I'm at now. So I aligned right back up. And once mm-hmm. again, he looked at me and said, just like Dr. Crystal, I'm going to use your life and you're going to gain a position of prominent stature. I have more for you, but right now I'm going to give you this and you're going to open up doors and opportunities for other families in order for them to enjoy. And it's going to be hard work. And the tools that you're going to get is going to be because you sacrificed, because you did without, because you lost. And then you're going to be able to get to the position where you're at and be able to give those tools to someone else. That's how I see the perspective in this space, mm-hmm. of this advocacy space. And it doesn't have to relate to autism. It could be cerebral palsy. Yeah. It could be Down syndrome. It could be anything. Because we have to always ask ourselves, we are imperfect people trying to coach other imperfect people on what is perfect. Doesn't make sense.
Yeah, it doesn't. It
Perfect.
doesn't make
It's a
sense at all.
perfect conundrum. If you look at it, it is the perfect conundrum. And that's why I tell people all the time, I don't consider myself normal. I don't, because
Yeah.
nobody knows who normal is except one person.
Yeah, I think that so many of the challenges that we face as parents and when we have children with additional needs is this concept of our own expectations. And you kind of talked about this earlier, but our own expectations when we learn that we were going to have a child coming into our life and we have these visions of what that's going to look like and what that's going to be. And then when those expectations are not quite met, and then what do we do with it? Well, we can make a choice perhaps to kind of fold in on ourselves, or we can make a choice to see it perhaps as a gift. And it's not black or white on any given day. There are a lot of days where, I'm going to be real honest, where I, may be massively resentful. I may really be struggling with, like, this is not what I signed up for. This is not what I expected. And then other days where I'm filled with joy and gratitude for what I've been gifted. And sometimes that's minute to minute and hour to hour, right? Even though you and I have made a lot of progress and where we're at and being able to advocate and being able to speak on behalf of others and do work that we feel is impactful, it doesn't mean that we've got it all figured out either, that we know exactly what to do, because we're trying to be guides for imperfect people as imperfect people ourselves, right?
And you're absolutely right. That goes right into the saying, imperfect people helping other imperfect people. But once again, that's what we're here for. The connection that we are supposed to realize is bigger than race. It's bigger than skin color. It's bigger than socioeconomic status. It's bigger than that. The connection is identifying that you're not perfect and I'm not perfect. We're in a living in an imperfect world. So how do we be perfect? How do we get close to this thing called perfect, right? So it's to gauge it at the most minimal level. Because we set ourselves for high expectations, but are they realistic? If you want me to go back to school and say, you got to have a 4.0, do I want to achieve it? Yes, I do. But is it realistic? Is it really realistic? So once again, it's about realizing, okay, what is considered perfect? And then how can I fit that mold? Do I want to fit that mold? That's another question. And how would I actually take on that responsibility, because that's another question too. Where responsibility yields great with gifts, or notoriety yields great responsibility, right? So we have to be able to ask these questions. One thing that you did point out is your frustration, right? So when you are frustrated and you feel as though you are in demand of answers, and that understanding, that acknowledgement, know that your higher power, your spiritual being is right there at that moment, right next to you, to hear that, because there's something, and I can't remember her name, but she said, you can't be agitated at someone that's not there. As a species, we're wired to be agitated at someone, at something. So you hear me, right? So
I do. I hear
when we
you.
get agitated, as special needs family was like, I can't do this no more. I'm tired. I'm angry. I don't have enough energy. I don't have it in me to be the best parent. Your spiritual leader is sitting right next to you and telling you and laughing at you, because he's like, yes, you are. Yes, you are. Yes, you will. Don't worry about it. Tomorrow's a new day. So I always tell myself when I get into that position is it's literally God sitting next to me like, okay, that's light. Keep going. Keep pushing.
It's so true. So at the time that this episode airs, you are going to have just wrapped up the Autism Dads Conference. I
Yes.
know right now you're going into it. So, but is this going to be an annual conference? What's this going to look like? When's it going to happen again?
I hope so. The reason why is because this is one of the many events that I've brought to my position, to my organization. This is not an organization event. This is the first one. Just like my autism town halls with law enforcement officers, I basically facilitated these events and bring them to life. This Autism Fathers Conference was something I thought about 3 years ago.
Yeah.
And I said, if I ever have the chance to, whether it be my nonprofit or I'm with an organization, I'm going to make it happen. I was able to have this position and I worked my butt off the first year to really put a foundation on what community outreach looks like and how it should be. And then I said, you know what? I have a network now. It's time. So I put the bat signal out. I had 19 people on my planning committee, and these are all people from prominent organizations in the neurodiversity space and a lot of work. But you know what? At the end of the day, not only I can say that we actually made a space and we contribute to the ongoing trend, the unfortunate ongoing trend of not having safe spaces for autism fathers, but the organization as a whole, CHOP, Children's Hospital of Philadelphia, can say, hey, we hire individuals who are innovative, who think in this type of
Absolutely.
space and make these connections. And now we have an event to put down in history to say, oh yeah, CHOP did that. They did that
That's
a
right.
couple years ago, and this is how it went, and this is how it was formatted. So a lot of man hours, a lot of work, but I'm definitely blessed. And this is one thing, once again, I can leave for my legacy for my son Shane, who has autism, but also too for my toddler Alejandro to see and be like, yeah, you know what? My dad did that. That was him back in the day, you know? So
Yeah.
I'm happy to give that off to them, you know, as far as what I'm doing here on this planet and my passion and purpose.
Yeah. Well, I'm convinced that this conference is going to be amazing. It was amazing because this is airing after the conference. And I definitely want to see this happen again in the future. And so tell everyone how they can find you, how they can follow you. Again, all of these links will be in our show notes, but tell folks how they can find you.
Okay, so I am a big stickler on immediate support, so I'm always willing to give out my number to anybody, autism father that needs direct support, needs to talk. You don't even have to know me. Hey, I heard you on this podcast. Can I
Yep.
talk to you? Yep, let's talk. And that number is 445-247-2071. To an autism mom, family, call me if you need support. Yes, I'm in the tri-state area, the Philadelphia area, but sometimes I have connections with organizations that may be close to you. Sometimes you just need an ear. And that's what I'm here for. So I want to put that out there. Other than that, I'm on LinkedIn under Awesomeness Incorporated, AUSOMENESSINC. Also, too, on Facebook under the same. And then also The Awesome Show, which is on Facebook and Instagram, TheAusomeShow. Podcast is on Spotify. And also, too, shout out to DJ Wiz, Wiz Radio, which is a Christian hip hop radio station based out of New Jersey. I'm actually on Saturdays at 9 a.m. So you can check out the show on there. So yeah, I'm doing a lot of different things right now. But the main one, if anything, if you copy down anything, should be my cell phone number. Reach out. I just want to let you know you are not alone. And that's the most important thing that we have to hear. I don't mind a text, a call. Let's link up. Let's talk about, you know, what's going on, what you're going through, and how you can definitely and you will make it on the other side of that. So, yeah, if anything, just remember that and reach out to me.
Amazing. Well, Jamil, thank you so much for joining us today on the Village Vision Podcast. I'm so grateful that you shared your story and experience with us.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you for this platform. Keep on doing what you're doing. Any way I can support you, you're now part of the awesome family. So, you know,
Yep.
any way I can support you, just definitely let me know.
Wonderful. Well, thank you for joining us on this episode of the Village Vision Podcast on Word of Mom Radio. I hope that you found inspiration and valuable insights from our conversation today. If you've enjoyed today's episode, please subscribe, rate, leave a review, and share. But thank you. Thank you for being a part of the Village Vision Podcast on Word of Mom Radio. Take care, and let's keep shining a light on the power of community, collaboration, and care.
She is sure.
She is sure.
She is strong.
She is strong.
She is true.
She is true.
She is brave.
She is brave.
She is bold.
She is bold.
She is you.
She is you. She is you. She is you.
She is sure.
She is sure.
She is strong.
She is strong.
She is true.
She is true.
She is brave.
She is brave.
She is bold.
She is bold.
She is you.
She is you. She is you. She is you.
Sure of herself, yes, she takes care of biz. Powerful and strong, yes, she knows who she is. is sure.
She is sure.
She is strong.
She is strong.
She is true.
She is true.
She is brave.
She is brave.
She is bold.
She is bold.
She is you.
She is you. She is you. She is you.
She is sure.
She is sure.
She is strong.
She is strong.
She is true.
She is true.
She is brave.
She is brave.
She is bold.